today, the 4th of April, is the International Day for Mine Awareness and Assistance in Mine Action. And on the 8th of December 2005, the UN General Assembly urged all states to continue increasing mine action capacities in countries where mines and explosive remnants of war constitute a serious threat to the safety and health of the civilian population. And this morning, we are joined in by the Danish Refugee Council in South Sudan's humanitarian disarmament and peacebuilding program. And we have with us Lisa Anukmula and team leader for Risk Education Program, Taban Benson. Thank you so much for making our time to come and speak to us today.
Good morning. Thank you so much.
Right. Good morning. Thank you so much.
Yes. Now, part of your work includes surveying and clearing unexploded ordnances from contaminated areas across the country. So can you share with us some of the findings that, particularly how widespread are these unexploded ordnances in South Sudan? I'll start with you, Lisa.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much. Basically, the contamination in South Sudan is mainly concentrated in the central and eastern equatorial region, but it's also in the Upper Nile region. Mm-hmm. So DRC specifically has teams in Magui, Maban, and Akubo to respond to these threats. In central and eastern Equatoria, those contaminated areas block access to agricultural land,
right,
which is very key for South Sudan in considering the food insecurity. Mm. And in the Upper Nile region, we've had recent insecurities that have, of course, aggravated this contamination even further.
Right. Now, Benson, as a leader of the Risk Education Program, what does your work entail?
Thank you so much. According to Risk Education, we have three teams which are operational in eastern Equatoria, in Magu County. And we also have one in Pibor, now in Jongole, that's Akobo, and we have also one in Maban. According to the awareness that usually our team gives out, the response is also positive because there are many cases of accidents that happened frequently sometime in those locations. But because of the awareness that we give,
right,
then there's a reduction in the accidents.
Mm.
Yeah.
And we've noticed that children account mostly for the number of victims, and just recently over 10 kids died because of this. So do you involve children in your risk education?
So much. Mm. We have types of risk education. There's that one approach for children, school-based approach, where we usually deal with the pupil directly.
Mm.
And we go to the schools, we liaise with the head teacher, and then we give session. It is not that we give once, but we can even give at least maybe 3 to 4 times in each class. Yeah.
Mm.
And we involve them in some of the practical aspects of how they are supposed to be taking themselves safe from those dangerous items.
Right, and I think the most important bit is the practical aspect, because they go out to the field and they meet with these unexploded ordinances. So how many schools have you been able to interact with?
Well,
or in what parts of the country?
Okay, thank you. In Magui, I think most of the schools we have covered them, and we are still continuing because learning is a process. You can learn today, tomorrow forget,
right,
and you need to be reminded. In Akobo also, we do the same. We go to the schools, we also reminded them. And Maban, the same.
Mm.
We go to the host community and as well as to the refugees. And one of the funny thing with the children, you know, children, they can learn.
Yeah.
And then some of them are curious when they see something they need to know. Why? What is it?
Mm-hmm.
Then it means that we need to do a lot to ensure that everybody is on the board and they're not able to play with those dangerous items.
Mm-hmm. Right, Lisa, yes. Would you like to jump in?
Yeah, just to jump in, we have a couple of child-friendly materials that we have recently designed, including comic books and specific games. So we have been looking into updating our material so that children are more responsive to it, and it's not just a simple awareness-raising session, because these sessions have to be both gender-sensitive and age-sensitive.
Right. Yes, when we began, you spoke about the contamination and how widespread it is. So how many have you been able to clear since you started your work here in South Sudan?
Since 2021, we've been able to clear over 1 million square meters as DRC. I always try to compare it with football pitches, right?
Mm.
One football pitch is about 7,100 square meters. So you can imagine how much land that was freed by our deminers.
Right.
And I mean, the communities are using it now for agricultural activities, but we also respond to reports from the communities, mm-hmm. right? When they see a dangerous item after the risk education that Taban just talked about, when they see a dangerous item, they can alert us and mm-hmm. we can respond right away.
Right.
We've done so in Maban, in areas where there was recent insecurity, mm-hmm. and humanitarian actors have been successfully following us because they now have the safe access to mm-hmm. these areas.
Mm-hmm. Right. Benton, how can you then be contacted if somebody comes in contact with these unexploded ordinances?
Yeah, thank you very much. And I think to add on before I go to your question, we also have in DRS, we have the mobile response team.
Mm.
And this mobile response team have been equipped also with knowledge so that when they go out, they will be in the community and they will know which area they are supposed to go to, which they are not supposed to go to. And usually we give them, if you go to an area and you are distributing, and somebody maybe you have seen suspicious thing, you are not supposed to endanger yourself,
right.
then please take contact, call us, and then we'll be able to send down our team to that location.
Mm.
Yeah, beside that, to contact us, we usually have our contact. Whenever we go for community liaison, we meet with the community leader, head teachers, stakeholders, and then we give our contact so that whenever they come around those items, they'll be able to contact us, and then we'll be able to respond accordingly.
Right. And you mentioned about three areas where your work is concentrated. Does that mean those are the mostly contaminated areas, Lisa?
Yeah, so I mean, as I said, the central and eastern equatorial areas are the most contaminated, but the Upper Nile region is also very contaminated, but we have not been able to fully and comprehensively assess that area because of the insecurity, because of the flooding. So as DRC, we are purposefully have made the decision to be in those two locations with our minor action teams in order to respond to these threats. But as Taban said, mobile response teams are extremely important because they can respond to reports or recent emergency settings.
Mm.
And I mean, the other element that I wanted to add with regards to how you can reach us, of course, there's UNMAS, right? The United Nations Mine Action Service. They have a specific hotline. I believe they're also on your program today. So they will tell you more about that. But in the areas where people are, it's most important to contact the humanitarian services that are around. It's most important to contact, ideally, Mine Action actors such as us or UNMAS.
Right. Okay, thank you. Not that I understand these unexploded ordinances, but of course it's important for us to know. So what kinds of unexploded ordinances are very common in the country?
Sure. So basically we have the contamination from the struggle of South Sudan of its independence, and that is cluster munition and landmines.
Mm.
Those are found sometimes above the ground, sometimes underneath the ground. In addition to that, we have the normal small arms and light weapons. That's your grenade, that's your mortar. Those are very commonly found in South Sudan. They're still used across the world, and they have been used in the recent insecurities.
Mm.
Cluster munitions and landmines, luckily, as far as we know, have only been used in the 90s and 80s when the struggle for independence was going
right.
on.
So have those been cleared?
Not all of them. No, we still have about 16 million square meters uncleared areas.
Wow. That's huge.
And that means 500,000 people are in need of mine action services.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, Taban, what happens if someone steps on a landmine? Is that it for that person, or there's a way out?
There's no way out.
That's it for you.
That's it for you.
Oh dear.
That's why we usually warn people not to go to those dangerous areas.
Mm.
Those dangerous areas are areas which are well known even sometimes to the community, previously occupied by the military, or there was a fight there, and people are not accessing, so they need not to go to those areas.
Mm.
So there's no way out. You step on it, you're
done. Oh dear, that's it for you.
Yeah, sure.
Well, so Taban, what are some of the challenges that you face while you train the communities out there?
Actually, you know, South Sudan, our community lacks a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
They don't take this risky awareness as a priority. And we feel that we need to do a lot. We need at least to engage maybe the stakeholders, because it is affecting our own population,
mm-hmm.
and it is dangerous. Because when you go to the community, women, children, these are the very active people. They come, they respond. But for men, they take it like we have known this, we have been in the system, but still they are victims.
Mm.
So we need to involve at least the stakeholders maybe there, and then we change our strategy also for approaching the men.
Right. So what is your appeal to the men who are listening in right now?
My appeal to them is that the risky education that we give is very, very important, because they are the breadwinners for their family. At the end of the day, when they become wounded or a survivor, it means a lot. It means the family will have a lot of suffering before, but in the family, children will go to the street.
Mm.
So this one will affect even the future of the children. So right. Please, I'm encouraging men. It's very important for them to listen to our awareness so that they'll also add more. For any visitor that comes in their family, they should be able to, because children listen better to their parents.
Right. Yes. Thank you so much, Taban. As we wind up this conversation, Lisa, are there any success stories that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think as DRC, what we've been able to do is to really go beyond the technical mine action approaches and allow for land to be effectively used after it's cleared. And that's really all we care about, right? We clear the land and then it has to be used by the communities. Mm. And we do this with the support of our deminers and our risk education team. So I'm very, very, very proud of them and very inspired by them. I'm also happy to say that we, as DRC, have 41% female deminers in our teams, which is very important. So we try to have that gender-sensitive lens, the conflict sensitivity lens, as well as that durable solutions perspective, because we are, above all, a displacement-oriented organization that has a broad mandate.
Right. Lisa Anouk and Taban Benson, that has been our time. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
All right. And it's just 17 minutes to the top of the hour. Good morning. This is where the nation's biggest conversations begin every morning. Now, if you have a strong view or comment, please send it to 0912-177-141. Remember, today, the 4th of April, is International Day for Mine Awareness. And stay tuned. We still have more going on. I'll be right back.